The Be'er Ma'im Chaim, whose yahrzeit was today, he was a Jew that his whole oilam was Shabbos. His whole oilam was Shabbos. Everything was Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, he was so Shabbosdik that it says that when he would go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos and come out of the mikvah, he was like a foot taller than what he was before. So you would think that it's like a guzma, like it was just an exaggeration, like he was a foot taller. So I saw on the Sefer today about him. It says that there was a certain yid, I think his name was Rav Margolis. He says he was by the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. So his son asked him, I asked my father, he says, is it true? He says, I tell you, I kid you not. He would come out of the mikvah, you mamish couldn't recognize him. You could not recognize the man. He was a foot taller and he looked like a totally different person. Totally different person. So it wasn't a guzma by him. This brings down there also that on Shabbos, one time on Shabbos, he had to spend Shabbos in away from his from home. Away from home. So he came to the shul Friday night and he met up with the yid. The yid said, you know, would you like to come to my house the next day for Shabbos? He said, sure, come. So the next day, that was on Friday morning, I guess, Friday before Shabbos. So the next day on Shabbos, so the Be'er Ma'im Chaim comes over to him after davening. He says, Shalom Aleichem, so coming to your house for Shabbos? So he says to him, I'm sorry, I already have a guest for Shabbos. I have no room for anybody. So he's always the guy ready guest for Shabbos. So it turns out that he's the guest. He didn't recognize him from yesterday because he looked totally different. He thought he was a mamash different person. So you have to explain to him, I'm the guy that you told to come yesterday. I'm your guest. Take me home. Mamash, he looked totally, totally different. Mamash, like totally different. So it could be that the reason why the Be'er Ma'im Chaim's yahrzeit falls out during Chanukah is that the whole inyan of Chanukah is that it takes the Kedusha of Shabbos and then it brings the Kedusha of Shabbos into the week. So even Shabbos changes after Chanukah. It's not like Shabbos is going to be the same anymore. Shabbos is going to change after Chanukah. At least the Vach is going to be different because of Chanukah. Because Chanukah now, they have the light of Chanukah. Now all the Shabbos are going to be different. All the Shabbos are going to come and the Kedusha is going to be mispashed into the coming week. It's going to be a foot taller. Yeah, the week's going to be a foot taller. So that's the idea, that you take the Ner Chanukah and you light it at the Pesach, which is the secret of Tefach, like we said before. So Tes Pei of Tefach. Again, that's Gematria Chanukah. The letter Ches is the Tzuras of Pesach. And the Re says to be Mechavin Kel Avnos, because Kel Avnos is the world of Asiyah, and you want to bring the Kedusha of Ner, which comes from the highest places, into the place of Malacha, so that the Kedusha of Shabbos should be mispashed even into the oil of Malacha. Because Malacha is Gematria Kel Avnos. So another Maisa with him. Another Maisa with the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. Says there was once a Jew who came to town to where he lived, and he had 400 zuz. Every story has 400 zuz. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. 400 zuz. So he comes to this town, and he didn't know anybody there. So he says he didn't want to leave it in the place where he was staying because he didn't know the people. Didn't know if he could trust them. So he says, "Listen, I hear the Rav's a chasher yid. I'll go to the Rav. I'll give him the money. He'll watch over for me for Shabbos." That's exactly what he does. He goes with Be'er Ma'im Chaim. He says, "Will you please hold on to me till after Shabbos?" Of course. He puts it away. Fine. Comes by after Shabbos. Money's gone. So he says, "Be'er Ma'im Chaim, says, what happened to the money? So I gave you the money to hold on to me." So I tell you, I'm so sorry. I said, what happened? There was a woman who came right before Shabbos. And Almana, she needs to marry off her children. She needed 400 ziz. I said, "Oh, listen, I just got 400 ziz. I gave her the money." Gave her the money. So the Be'er Ma'im Chaim said, "Don't worry about it." He says, I'm going to have the money back for you in a few weeks. I give you a bracha, though. You should be matziach in all of your businesses. Everything should go well." So he doesn't say anything. He doesn't complain to the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. Doesn't do anything. So all of a sudden, this guy starts to see amazing hatzlacha in his business. That's much better than ever he was before. And he says, "This was due to the bracha of the tzaddik, I know for sure." So he comes back to Be'er Ma'im Chaim. He sees the Be'er Ma'im Chaim. Ma'im Chaim says, "Oh, I'm so happy I see you." He says, "The money which I gave to the Almana, I have it all for you. I want to give it back to you." So the Yid says, "No, I refuse to take it." I says, "Rebbe, I can't thank you enough for the chesed you did for me." He says, "My matzliach, in the shire, I want you to keep the money. It's yours. You've already given me back more than what I gave you." So Ma'im Chaim was very misspelled from this. So first of all, he didn't complain the first time when he gave away the money. And now he's not even taking back the money. So he says to the Seerah, he says, I don't know what can I do for you? What can I do for you to show, to express my karasatot? So he says, I don't know. So he says to him, I give you a bracha. You should always have a Tam Shabbos. Okay. So all of a sudden, it comes Wednesday. This guy's mom is going out of his kelim. This guy's going crazy. Wednesday, this time when the neshama starts to come in for the coming Shabbos, because Wednesday you got your nefesh yisera, Thursday you get the ruach yisera, and then on Friday you get your neshama yisera, and then you're in Shabbos, right? So comes Wednesday, this guy doesn't know what hit him. He has all this kedusha coming in. Mom can't control himself. His mom is like this on Shabbos. So he's ready for Shabbos, right? So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is intensifying. Mom is on fire. So he came back to this was going on, and the people in his city were, they saw that he was a different mensch. And he says it came Friday, he had a different surah altogether. Nobody even recognized him on Shabbos, right? Nobody recognized him. He told everybody, he says, this is all because of the bracha from the tzaddik, the Be'er Mayim Chaim. It's all because of the bracha from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. He says he would do business from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and on Wednesday he couldn't do any business anymore. He was already in Shabbos mode, right? And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he was in a different island, and then he'd come back on Sunday, and he'd have to do his work for those 2 days. But already, he was very wealthy. I'm sure he had a lot of atzlacha, Shabbos the whole week. So, the Noam Elimelech, when people would come to them, and he would say, you know, it's hard for me, you know, I can't get into Shabbos, he would send Yidin to this Yid. He'd say, there's a Pasha to Yid, who knows how to keep Shabbos. Want to see how an Erlech Yid keeps Shabbos? You go to this Yid. His name was like Reb Derish, I think. So he would sell him to the Rabbi Yoel Basaver or something. So he would send him. So Noam Elimelech would send people to him. He was like a Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe for all the simple people. And it's funny to see how a regular person has Shabbos, he would send it to him. Can you imagine what the Shabbos was like at the Be'er Mayim Chaim? Oh, Isaac. The Shabbos was like at the Be'er Mayim Chaim. It's Tzaddik and Noam Elimelech. Mamash. The whole week revolved around that. Mamash. I'll just share one last thing about the Be'er Mayim Chaim. We'll sing it again. It says he in his town where he lived, he was like the authority in the town, and people were mamish had a pachad of him. Pachad. Says that one time there was a yid who was riding on a horse through town on Shabbos, and the Be'er Mayim Chaim came out and he gave him a hasra. He says, you can't do this, it's a zilzal to cover the Shabbos in the town. He was the rav. So he says, who are you to tell me what to do? So the Be'er Mayim Chaim came home, and he turned to one of the chassidim and he says, he's not going to make it home. He took out a chumash and he read the pasuk, Machal Aleha Mois Yumas. Anybody who's Machal Shav is going to die. And he says he drowned on the way home. These maisim would happen like this. People would be talk back to him about the Zahiris and Shabbos. He would pull out a chumash, or not just about Shabbos, but any inyan, where he felt that he had to protect the tzur of the town. People would mess. And he had to protect it. He would take out a chumash, he would read the pasuk, and then something would happen to the person. So there was a shmu in town, like, you don't mess with the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Like, people had such a pachad from him, especially when the Yonim, which came to Shabbos. There was one time somebody was building a house on Shabbos, and he warned the person, you can't build it, and he says, no, I'm going to build it anyways. So he pulled out the Navi, where it says about Yericho, that, you know, the pasuk says that anybody who builds Yericho, that you'll lose your children, right? And the house will burn down and you lose your children. Mamish kachava. Just as he said it would happen, it happened. So it could be that the reason why his yortzeit falls out during this tkufa is that since Chanukah is mispashit, the light of Shabbos throughout the whole week, this is a year, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, that he took Shabbos to like a whole new level. Mamash's whole life was that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is Be'er Mayim Chaim. What said the Rambam about that? No?
Yeah,
it says Vayimtzu Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim. No, Vayimtzu Sham. Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim is Gematria Shabbos. Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim.
Might be the other way. It might be
Vayimtzu
Sham also.
Huh? No. Vayimtzu Sham is not enough.
Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim.
That's Gematria Shabbos. Yeah.
Huh?
Let's take one second. It says by Yitzchak. Okay, I'll think of it while we say anything again. You know, sometimes a niggin catches fire. That's the way a niggin is really supposed to be. It's supposed to, niggin is supposed to be caught on fire. And then it's... the niggin is supposed to... Singing is not just for the sake of singing. Let's just sing. Singing on the chitzonius, it brings people together. It's nice, it's fun, it brings out an akuda and a person very deep. But sometimes you sing a niggin, and although normally when you sing a niggin, like after like the first two times, you're already like, okay, on to the next niggin. If that was the case, then that's not a real niggin. A real niggin is supposed to be that when you sing it, and it catches. And then each time you sing it, it gets better. It gets better. So that's a real niggin. Sometimes you sit together, and even after many times, and you only get it once. You don't get it after that at all. But a niggin is like a nair. It's supposed to catch fire. It's supposed to produce another niggin. Just like if you take one nair and you put it against another one, it creates another. So that's the way of a niggin. That's why two times ner is gematria shar, which means it's the root of the word shira. Because when a one ner produces another ner, this is the secret of shira. A shira is really a fire. It's not tangible. It's like a fire is not tangible. A ner is not tangible. A shira is not tangible. So that's why by ner Chanukah, the whole chefta shel mitzvah of ner Chanukah is halav v'hoida, which is shira. That the way you can best capture what a ner is in terms of avodas Hashem is through shir. But the ner Chanukah is not like a regular light. It has to have a pnimiyah. So when you light the ner candle, the ner Chanukah down here, so a shefa comes down from above and that gives it the neshama. So we just produce the keli, which is the physical fire. But when we do that, we create a nachal shal ish, which is a river of fire which comes down from Shemayim. And then infuses the candles with the neshama. Which is why when tzaddikim look into the Ner Chanukah, they see mamish andrish, they see a whole world, mitchilas olam atzofei, that the Or HaGonaz is nignaz, is buried within the physical Ner. And so that's called a real fire. A Ner with an neshama, that's called a real fire. And so that's why... Another chair? That's why Ner, the Ner of Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah is a type of a Ner which is Moisef HaHolech. The Haina that if the Ner Chanukah is not Moisef HaHolech, that's not a real Ner Chanukah. That would have when you light one candle, and that candle has enough energy that it wants to light another candle, that's called a real Ner. That's called a real Shira. So a shar is two times ner. That one ner produces another ner, that's called a real shira. A shira is something which is meisav ha'halach. And that's why we say, in Chanukah, the mizmor which we say is mizmor shir Chanukah sabayis David. Even the word mizmor shir means that one mizmor produces another shir. It's like two words shira back to back. Mizmor shir, which is very rare. And even the kapitel by the menorah, which is called the Mizmor HaMenorah, which we say, Lamatzeach bin Ginos Mizmor Shir. In this first sentence, there are four words which say Shira. Lamatzeach bin Ginos Mizmor Shir. You never find that by any other pizmon in all of Tehillim that you have in the Hakdama, you have four different expressions of Shira. And if you take a look at the Mizmor HaMenorah, the candles are connected these four words, Lamnatseach bin Ginos Mizmor Shir, and then the seven branches correspond to the other seven psukim. But the lights themselves, that's composed of Lamnatseach bin Ginos Mizmor Shir. Which means to say that the chefza, the ner itself of Ner Chanukah, of the menorah, is singing Shira. So the Rambam is many years ago, that's why we say Hanereis Halalu. Halalu is from the word Halal. That the neres themselves, they sing Halal. And then Anu Malikin, and it lights us up. That when a Jew looks at the Ner Chanukah, it's infectious. That if you look at the Ner Chanukah and you see that it's dancing, it's simcha, it's singing, it's called Mamadaki, you can't hear it. But it's singing. That a Jew who gives a good look at the Ner Chanukah, a look like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that the look comes from the heart. Because the root of the eyes come from the heart. If a Jew looks at the Ner Chanukah with his heart, not with his eyes, if he looks at the Ner Chanukah with his heart, it can light up the heart. Just like a Shira can. There's nothing which can best light up the Jewish heart like Shira. Like Hallel. Like Hallel. That's why the Sfarim say that the word Hallel comes from the word Or. It says, Bahilo Nirei Alai. Bahiloi. Even in English, a halo is a light, right? Bahilo Nirei. That it means it's a light. Hallel is a light. It's a light which goes out to the world when a Jew says Hallel. So a real Shira is like a Nair, that it's Moisef HaHaylech, that each time you sing it, if it catches, it gets better and it gets stronger each and every time. That's why Psila, which is what we light, is Gematria Shira. Psila. That the Psila is a Shira. It's the root of all Shira. And it's supposed to produce that type of an effect. So then there's the chitzonius type of Bashira that you sing a song once or twice and you're like, okay, let's move on to the next one because it already got dry. But there's certain nigunim, especially by tzaddikim, we find this, that you can sing a nigun, you can sing it again, you can sing it again, you can sing it again, and you don't understand why it's happening, but each time you sing it, it gets stronger and stronger. You don't want to leave the nigun. You don't want to leave the nigun. But the chitzonius people are like, okay, no time for new nigun. Because it just shows that sometimes some people catch it and sometimes people don't catch it. I was once by the Rebbe on Purim, and there was a niggun which was going for a very long time. It was going for a very long time. You could see the Rebbe was mamish in Vegas. And then the band player, you know, he usually plays a niggun 3-4 times, 3-4 minutes, and then he moves on to the next niggun. So he changed the song. So all of a sudden the Rebbe, he wakes up from his Vegas and he starts going like this. Nobody knows what he's talking about. He starts going like this, you know, bring back the other song. So he tells the whispers in the Gabbai, you can hardly hear anything. So the Gabbai hears, he runs over to the guy and they bring back the song. So they continue that and then dancing another 4 or 5 minutes. They go to the next song. The Rebbe again, no. Bring back the song. After that he got the point, you know, and he kept playing the song. But this song, there's sometimes like if it catches, it's a moment where the niggun catches you. Where the niggun is just typhus you. And then it's not just like there's an inyan like, okay, you go on to the next song. The whole point was for this. This is what it was all about. It was all about all the songs weren't able to have that one song, so that when that one song catches, like how could you leave it? It's like traveling, you know, 50 miles to get to your destination, you get off the plane, right? And you say shalom to the passport people, and then you leave. You go back on the plane and you leave. But there was so much to do here. Like you finally got here. You spent all that money and all that time, and then you're leaving. Right? You sing so many nigunim on the hope that one will catch. And when that one catches, you have to go with it. You have to ride it. You have to ride the shira. It makes a kesher with the neshama. So that's why when it comes to Chanukah, the Iker Chefzus Shel Mitzvah of Chanukah is Shir. But not a Chitzon Yistik Shir. Like a Pim Yistik Shir. It's not so related, but it has to do with Hallel. That once the Tiferet Shlomo from Radomsk, he went for Shabbos to the Divrei Chaim from Tzanz. And by the Tiferet Shlomo, where he was, so it wasn't the Inyan, it wasn't the Minig there that the Tzaddikim would be Chazen. But in Tzanz, where the Divrei Chaim was, it says the Divrei Chaim came out always davened. Always davened. Like we have that here, you know, by Rabbi Friedman. his minyan, 8 o'clock, is always the chazan. It's always the chazan. You have other tzaddikim that they're never the chazan. So Tefer Shlomo went to the Devi Chaim, and the Devi Chaim was mechabed the Tefer Shlomo to down for the Omer, which is was a big woe, because he came out, never was mechabed anybody down for the Omer, it was his Omer. So mechabed the Tefer Shlomo down for the Omer. Shachris, Shavuos. Okay, first day Shavuos. So he comes, he davens for the Amr, first day Shavuos, Shachris. And then he goes into Hallel, and he starts to do Hallel. Comes the next day Shavuos, and he had a friend who he came with, also a Chashev, a Rav Beresh, something. And the Mechaber Rav Beresh also to Shadavan. Hey, yo, is that the Tefer Shlomo davened the first day Shavuos? So his friend, his Chaver Beresh, should daven second day Shachris instead of the Devi Chaim. So he davened Shachris. After he davened Shachris, he comes down from the Amud, and the Devi Chaim comes up to daven Hallel. Okay. Now Tefer Shlomo is a big pachad, is a big busha, because he just realized now that he was only supposed to daven Shachris, not supposed to daven Hallel, because really Devi Chaim is supposed to daven Hallel. So he says to Rav Beresh after davening, he says, "How come you didn't tell me? How come you didn't tell me before I daven Shachris that I was only supposed to daven Shachris? I wasn't supposed to daven Hallel." So he says, "I thought you knew. I thought you knew Devi Chaim doesn't give away Hallel; it only gives away Shachris." So Tefer Shlomo says, "You know what? Really, it's my fault. It's my fault. Because as soon as I was about to daven Hallel, I started to see that the entire Pamayel Shemayel was coming down from Shemayim. They were coming to listen. So I thought they were coming for me. But I realize now they were coming because they were for the Devi Chaim they were coming. Because they thought he was going to daven Hallel. So it's really my fault. It's really my fault. I should have realized that they were coming for the Devi Chaim. They weren't coming for me. It's the Hallel. Matzadik davens. All the Olemas want in on it. And it's a crazy thing because they're singing Shiras. You know the perfection of the Shiras of the Malachim and Shemayim? How amazing it is, the shiras of the Malachim and Shemayim. How did I, if we had the ears to hear such a Hallel? Right? But where are they coming? They want to hear the Devi Chaim's Hallel. And the Devi Chaim probably wasn't the greatest chazan in the world. In this world, it may not have sounded so sweet. But the way that a voice sounds in the other worlds is a totally different voice. Because in the higher worlds, they don't listen to the actual sound of a person's vocal cords. They listen to the neshama. How the neshama sings, and the way the neshama sings down here, up there, and the way that the guf sings down here is two totally different voices. Which is why many times they were tzaddikim that they were makbid, they should daven for the amud, daven for the amud, even though you didn't want to hear them, nobody wanted to hear them, but they knew that it wasn't that by the pnimi stick of tzaddikim, it wasn't how sweet the voice of the chazan is. In many places, that's how it is, and especially in our circles. A chazan is expected, especially Rav Chaim Brisker has a very famous shmua from him, that the chazan, one of the necessities, one of the dinim of a chazan is to have a good voice. Especially for us, because we get pulled in by the sweetness of the voice of the chazan, it helps us pull us in. And places where they only choose a chazan because of his voice, and they neglect whether he's a bentar or not, that's not the type of place you want to daven in. Especially in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. To paying somebody to daven for the Amud because, you know, $10,000 because he has an album and he sings concerts and so on and so forth. You go there because, you know, you want to hear a good davening. You may be enjoying it with your ears, but your neshama's crying. That's not the place you want to be. You want to be in a place where, halavai, you should have somebody that they have a sweet voice and they're a bentayra. But to be by a tzaddik, you know, even though it doesn't sound so sweet, but afterwards you walk away and you're like, oh, no, it was good. It feels good. I feel like I connected with it, even though nobody can understand how it is. Some people like they're cringing because it's so painful to their ears. But a more pneumistic person, he's contemplating how it's getting into the neshama, how it's getting in, and you walk away, you feel satisfied because it was sweet to the neshama. The neshama was listening with a different ear, it was a different voice. You were listening to the voice on high, not to the voice on low. Right? Those are the types of shiras which catch. Can have sometimes chaver come together and not the sweetest voices in the world, but who cares? They're singing and then it catches and they're enjoying themselves, and they feel like they're growing from the shira. And that's the type of a shira which is a pnimistic shira, and that's what the Ner Chanukah represents. It represents a type of a ner which is Lamatzeach Ben Gizmo is Mizmo Shir, that if one Shira comes to another Shira, produces another Shira, that you can Shir Ad Ein Seif. That's really the Tainag of Olam Haba. And Nachman says that the whole Inyan of Ner Chanukah is that it's a Shashua Olam Haba. One of the great delicacies and delights of the Olam Haba is going to be that it's going to be a Shira Ein Seif. It's going to be, Olam Haba is considered to be like one long halal. One long Shira, a Shira which is Mamish Ein Seif. Mamish Ein Seif to Kashir. So we have a taste of that on Chanukah. Chanukah is a taste of that Shira of the Lo Asa Lovai. I will be zecher to be as Kalta. Last story reminded me of another story. I heard from the Rebbe once. He said that the son of the Rav Shitzer Rebbe was Rav Lazer from Jikov. He was a big tzaddik. He was master himself completely. He was a very hidden tzaddik. In his older years, he was getting weaker, he was getting more frail. And he met up with the Gute Yid. The Gute Yid was the son of the Mar Vashamish. He was called the Gute Yid. He used to say about himself, I'm a Gute Yid, I'm a Gute Yid. So when he saw the Gute Yid, he said to him, he said, I have two hanhagas which I've done for many, many years. I want that you should absolve me of my nether, of my commitment to do these two inyanim in Avodas Hashem. So the Gute says, okay, let me hear what they are. So the Lazer Jikover says that in my younger years, I've always, since certain tkufa in my life, I've always worn white on Shabbos. And in my younger years, when I would see people wearing black, and I would see people wearing black clothes on Shabbos, so it would make me cringe. Like I couldn't stand it, so I had to wear white. So now that I'm in my older years and I'm able to tolerate it more, and you know, I don't feel like I'm on the madrig anymore that I can wear white. I don't have the same kaiches. I want you to shapata me that I don't have to wear white begadim anymore on Shabbos. You should know that tzaddikim used to always wear white on Shabbos until the Sar Shalom from Belz, that he was the one who, he was mevatel the Indian of wearing white on Shabbos. But until the Sar Shalom from Belz came out, tzaddikim, all of them, when they wore white clothes. So the Sar Shalom was a contemporary of the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. He lived actually in the time of Rav Lazer Jikover. So he said, will you please absolve me of this nether that I should only wear white on Shabbos? He says, okay, sounds good. Let me hear the second thing. So he says, the second thing is that for all my years I've always davened Musaf as the Shlich Tzivar Nashana. I don't want to daven anymore. Why not? He says, because when I start to say Rosh Hashanah, what's that niggin, which is the marching niggin? No, the one which is Ein Kitzvah. Very good, yeah. Ein Kitzvah. When I start to sing Ein Kitzvah, So all the malachim, they start to come down with their trembles in their hand, and they start to go like this. Because in my younger years, I could be soivel. If my older years, I can't bear it anymore. It's just too much in my ears. I can't take it. I can't do this anymore. He says, if that's the case, I don't pat to you from the second one, and also not from the first one. As if to say, as such a tzaddik like this, how can he not daven for the omer? So pat to you from the second one, I won't even pat to you from the first one. As the Gemara tells us, as the Medrash tells us, as Amar Ben Yamin, Hakol Becheskas Sumin, everybody's a Suma Ad she'Kadosh Baruch Hu meiris yineihem. Until Kadosh Baruch Hu, until He illuminates our eyes. It's brought down that if a person has an aveda, if he can't find something, he should say this mimer. Amar Rabbi Yamin, Hakol b'cheska sumin, ad she'Kadosh Baruch Hu meiris yineihem. Shenemar, but I forget, it's a pasuk by... By Hagar.
Yeah.
She couldn't find the Be'er, right? She, Hashem opened up her eyes and she found the Be'er. So the Sfar Makdashim say, Sfar Makdashim, you know the most famous Kasha in all of Torah, the Kasha of the Beis Yosef. What's the nace that we're celebrating on the first night of Hanukkah? It wasn't a nace that the Pach lasted for the first night. That's Teva. So the answers to this question are Ein Sof. Mamish Ein Sof. Well, Wolfson has a vart where he says that the Pach Shemin, the Or of the Or Haganas, which is the light of the Ner Hanukkah, is Ein Sof. So he says that the Pach Shemin, that the place where you find this light every single year is in the Kasha of the Beis Yosef. That the terutz into this question are mamish ain't sof, because the light of the Or HaGanaz is nisgala here. And so therefore, every single year, Kadosh Baruch Hu is being machadish new answers to this question, which are nisgala al yedei the tzaddikim. New answers to this question. Not just tzaddikim, regular peoples. That new terutzim are being nisgadish in this teretz, because the light is buried in this kasha, called the Beis Yosef. I have to say once that's why it's called it's called the Beis Yosef, because it's always Moisef. The Terutzim are always being Moisef on each other. And just like the Pach was found in the Beis HaMikdash, so this Pach, Kilo, is found in the Beis Yosef. That's called like the Beis HaMikdash, called the Beis Yosef. The house of Yosef is where you find, you know, Yosef is the Shpizin of Hanukkah. So one of the answers which is given to this Shaila is that the fact that they found the Pach, that's an ace. You celebrate on the first night the fact that they found the Pach. So the Shaila though is that why do you celebrate the finding of the Pach by lighting a candle? You should have a scavenger hunt. What does the lighting of the Hanukkah candle have to do with the Nes? It doesn't represent the fact that they found it per se. Fakaret, it shows that it lit B'teva. So why should the lighting of the candle represent the finding of the Pach? You should do something different. For 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you should light candles. But the day 1, to show that it's a different nes, so you should do a different mitzvah. The teretz is, though, is that it's Hainuhach. Hainuhach. Because the light which they lit, which illuminates, which comes from the Pach Shemin, it was that light all along which illuminated their eyes to be able to find the Pach Shemin in the first place. So the light which is Nisgale on the second night, because that's the light of the Nes, this is the light which all along which illuminated their eyes to be able to find the Pach. So when you light on the first night as well, the light which comes out is the light, because this is the light which allowed you to find it. As if to say that there was a light which was always in the Pach Shemin. So that when they were looking for the Pach Shemin, how did they find it? It was a nace how they found it. The Gemara says so explicitly. It says, Loi Matsu Pach. It says, Loi Matsu. That they were looking, V'loi Matsu, Ela Pach Echad Shel Shemin. But it says, Loi Matsu. They couldn't find anything. There's nothing to be found. Which means to say that with their physical eyes, there was nothing to be seen. They cannot find the Pach of Shemin. What happened? Because Baruch Hu sent a light out from the Pach Shemin, which caught their eye. And it was this light for the Pach Shemin, which like a laser beam, which pulled them in to be able to find the Pach Shemin. That they saw the light emerging from the Pach Shemin and leading them down the way, showing them the way how to find the Pach. So really, it was this light all along. Even the first night, it's because of this light that they found it. So the light which you light, and the light which allowed them to find, is the same light. This is the secret of what Rabbi Binyamin is saying. Amar Rabbi Binyamin, Hakol b'cheska sumin. Everybody is a suma, ad she'Kadosh Baruch Hu meiris yineihem. It doesn't say Yifkechu esenehem, like it says in the pasuk. It says that there's a light which illuminates the eyes. When a person can find something, and then he finds it, it's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought a light to his eyes. And that light, which allows a person to find things which are hidden, that's the light of Ner Chanukah. Every single time that we learn a sugya, in Gemara, Medrash, whatever it is, Mishnayos, Chumash, we have lots of kashas. There's difficulties in the sugya. And what we really want is that we want to get to the nekuda of the sugya, that when you find the nekuda of the sugya, that when you go back, you answer all the kashas. That really, that you're supposed to see every single kasha in learning is supposed to be a redirect. Like you're trying to get in, and then you hit a rough spot, and then it redirects, so you have to wiggle your way in, you have to wiggle your way in. Every kasha is leading you down a path until you're able to come to the nekuda of the sugya. And when you find the nekuda of the sugya, and you have to make your way out, on your way out, now that you could see, you know how to be miyash of everything. So that it doesn't hurt on the way out. It only hurts on the way in because you can't see yet. That's why it's kasha, means it hurts. Kashas are supposed to hurt. But when you come out, it's supposed to be menachas, because you already found the light. And that's exactly what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash with the Yidden, when they were looking for a Pach Shal Shemen, right, it was like going through a sugya. That there's tum all around, that there's klipas all around, like it says about the Arizal, that when he would learn a sugya in Shas even, he would shvitz. He would say that the reason why it's called kasha, because you have to break the klipas, to hit them hard. Because all the sfeikas which we have in a sugya, they all come from impurities, either because of our own tumas or just tumas in the world. Which is why it helps learning to go to the mikveh. It helps learning. It helps learning to be tar. The Gemara says that, you know, until Ezra came along, it was usher to learn while the person was tumah. You had to learn tumah. You had to learn tar b'tar. Because the point is that you need the tara to be able to draw you into the nekuda of the sugya. And that's exactly what happened. That they, when they were going into the Beis HaMikdash to find the Pach Shemen, it was filled with Tumah. It wasn't shock to find the Pach Shemen of Tara in a Beis HaMikdash filled with Tumah. That the Tumah itself was closing their eyes to be able to find the Pach. You can't find, you think the things were like in the Beis HaMikdash, they worked like Kedach Kala Aretz. It wasn't like that. Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash was palpable. Nobody wanted to be in the Beis HaMikdash which was filled with Tumah. It's like being in who knows where. It wasn't shock to be able to see in the Beis HaMikdash of Tumah. Until the Kadosh Baruch Hu sent out a light from the depths of the sugi itself, which draws a person in. Because the MS is buried. This Pach Shemen is like the MS of the sugi. It's called Chaysamai. Chaysamai Shal Kohen Gadol means the Chaysamai Shal MS. That the MS of the sugi is always buried within the sugi. And a person needs to have Siyata D'Shemaya. When a person has that Siyata D'Shemaya, the MS itself, the Nakud itself of the sugi is speaking to you. It's calling you in. And it's telling you, this is the way into the sugya. Which is why you can have one person that he sits over a sugya for 3 hours trying to understand a tosfos. Maybe another person, he can do 60 tosfos in 1 hour. Why? Because the Torah is talking to him. But the nekud of emes in the sugya is drawing him in, and he's saying, this is what you need to know, this is what you need to know, this is what you need to know. If Cook was able to learn 60 blah in 1 day, 60 blah in 1 day, I heard from my Rebbe, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Chaim Brim Zatzal, he told me, he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. This picture's right over there. He told me that once the Chazon Ish was in a shir, I don't know if he was in a shir, if he was listening to somebody saying a Dvar Torah, somebody quoted a Maariv Makom of Baba Basa Daf Kuf Yud. So afterwards, the Chazon Ish went over to him and he says, that Maariv Makom, I think it's on Daf Kuf Tes. I think you're referring to the Gemara Kuf Tes. He said, no, it's Kuf Yud. I just saw it before I came. Kuf Yud. I said, no. He was caught off guard. He was almost positive it was Kuf Tes. It wasn't Kuf Yud. So he went to look at the Gemara and he saw he was right. The other guy was right. It was Kuf Yud. So the Chazon Ish went home. He chazed the entire Maseches Baba Basra that night. It's 176 blot. He chazed that night. Because he was off by a blot, by an omid. That's what it meant, Chaim. That's the Torah, was the Chaim of the Chazon Ish. It wasn't like he needed to be perfect. It was just for the Chazon Ish's standards of what Torah means to him. It's like if you forget your kid's first name. You can imagine a busha like that. How could you forget your kid's first name? So the Chazon Ish, every Amun in Torah was like his child. You don't forget something like that. That's the Chavivas that the Chazon Ish had for Torah. That's a dua, the hasmad of the Chazon Ish was Noah Saga. It said about the Chazon Ish that he would use every single ounce of strength that he had, and even he would sleep half on his bed, half off his bed, because he didn't need to sleep off. He didn't need to exert the energy to sleep on his bed completely. It was kedai for him to sleep half on it. Don't try this. But this is how the Chazon Ish conducted himself. He knew how to be Mashiach every single drop of energy. I heard from my Rebbe Chaim, he says, it's mamish, it's true. They saw it with their own eyes. The Talmidim saw it with his own eyes, that he would sleep half on the bed. This is so how much he was makushar to Torah. It's inseparable from the Torah. This is the idea which we dive in every single say. We say, v'ha'er einenu b'sar secha. That after you say many things in Avar Abavtanu. You say, assembly being ubina, la havin, la haskil, the shmaya, lilmud, the lame, lishma, the last of the kaim is called to be some of Yahweh. And everybody gets very into that, you know. Lilmud, the lame, lishma, the last of the kaim. Every time you say it, it gets more intense, and you really want to know Torah. And after you finish, you say, Vahari Nidavis, Vahari Nidavis, is the climax of all that. That's the ikr. The ikr of Akasha is Vahari Nidavis, which means to say, even if I'm not the biggest masmid, even if I don't know how to learn, I don't know how to teach, I don't even know how to listen. I don't want to do any mitzvahs. If I have a heart in Yisrael, I have everything. That's all you really need, is that Hashem should illuminate our eyes and Torah. Which means to say that I should know exactly what I'm looking for, that the Torah is shining a light to me that I could find it. Just like the Pachshema was shining a light to the Kohanim throughout all the Tumas, which was drawing it in and saying, here I am. It's calling out to you. That the Emes should call out to us. Because the Emes is buried. That the Emes should call out to us. So really, this mamir of Binyamin, Hakol b'ches chesum in Hashem Kosher Meisanim, it's a very Chanukah dika, mamir. That even though you don't know what you're looking for and you have no way to find it, Hakadosh Baruch Hu illuminates your eyes to be able to find it. Say sumin. What are you doing? Watching?
166.
Huh? 166. It's 166. But the word sumin, the letter sumin, is sam yavan, which means like the poison of yavan. Sam yavan. Sam is Lashon Simayinayim. Sam Yavan. It's called Sumin. And the Baal Maimah here is Rabbi Binyamin. Why Rabbi Binyamin? The Arizal says that when you light the Psila, you have to be Mechavin Binyamin. Mechavin Binyamin, that's what he says. He just leaves it at that. You have to be Mechavin, that the Psila is Binyamin. When you light the Nair, thus is Binyamin. Always happens to be that the Marad Asra of Chodesh Kislev is Binyamin. Sheva Binyamin is connected to Chodesh Kislev. 12 tribes, connected to 12 Shvatim. Okay? So Binyamin is the Marad Asra, and he's also the Psila. So Binyamin is wild when it comes to Ner Chana. So Mamela, that the Baal Maimer is Rabbi Binyamin, Hakobach Eskasuma. Because Rabbi Binyamin is the one, that this is his Makom. Chanukah, Kislev is that time. There, Binyamin says that everybody is Bechesk HaSumer. It's a Chanukah Liman. So Binyamin is the Derech, is the Tzinger to be Megal of the Liman. Because he's the Marad Asra of Kislev. The Marad Asra of this time of year. But this is one of the Ikar Tfilas, and when a Jew is sitting by the nearest Chanukah, and this is the light of the Harinyan of Bechesk HaSumer, this is the light, the Ar HaGanas, of which the Baal Shem Tov says that this light is buried within the Torah. That the whole Liman HaTayra is to get to this light. This is the Tachlis of Liman HaTayra, and this is the way that a Jew learns Tayra. That really the Tachlis and the way that a Jew learns Tayra, they're really one. That the light itself should teach us how to learn Tayra. That's the Iker Hatzlacha in learning. Even if a person is not a big Baal Kishrin, and he doesn't think that he can have Hatzlacha, he doesn't think he can get Smicha, all this is all Tafel. That the Iker Hatzlacha in learning is that if a person has a Shaykhis to the Or of Tayra, that's called Hatzlacha in learning. Their mitzvah of Torah are. That or of Torah, the person can measure his hatzlacha and learning depending on this. And again, it's not a very litvish way to look at it. Like that in halacha, according to the Rama, the gedr v'tamach chacham is the person who's holding in most makomas in Shas. You can ask him questions in Shas and he can answer you in most places. That's a gedr v'tamach chacham. In Pnimius, the Arizal says that's not the definition of v'tamach chacham. The real definition of a Talmud Chacham is the person who learns Torah Lishma. Rav Pinchas Karzer says that I define Talmud Chacham as somebody who learns without any pnius in his learning. That he doesn't learn in order to be called a big rabbi, doesn't learn for a salary, he learns Lishma. That's called Talmud Chacham. And Pnimius is a totally different classification of what a Talmud Chacham is. What that really means in this context is that a person can measure the degree of how much a Talmud Chacham he is according to the degree that he has that light, that he has a Shaykh to light. It doesn't mean that he's gonna, like, the whole room is gonna light up. You know, he's gonna mamish illuminate, like it did by Tzadikin, that it literally illuminated. Like it says about the Marshal, and that, you know, another Tzadikin, the Magid from Kushan, so other Tzadikin that when they would learn, that the candle never blew out. That one time when, it was the Rebbe from Kushan, the Magid from Kushan. One time his father sent him, he wanted to go learn in the Beis Medrash on Hanukkah. Huh? Yeah. Wanted to come to the Beis Medrash to learn Hanukkah time. But at that time, people would come and they would play cards in the Beis Medrash, and he didn't want his son going and playing cards, and he didn't know if he could trust him. So he said, you know, I bet you should learn at home. He insisted, and I said, I'll go to the Beis Medrash. You'll see, I'll be back by 12 o'clock. Because I guess that's when the Chevra would come to play cards, you know, when everybody had left. And he said, I'll be back by 12. Let me just go now, I'll come back at 12. What happened was, he said, how will I know to come home? He said, I'll take a candle. When the candle burns out, I'll come home, because I can't see anymore. So he stayed there the whole night, and his father was concerned, and he was sure that he started playing cards the whole night. And he came, and he saw that, you know, when the morning he came back, he said, where were you? He says, the candle never burned out. The candle burned the whole night. I didn't realize the time it was. The candle stayed on. That means, like, the Nes of Hanukkah was existing by Tzaddikim throughout the whole year. They had, which means to say like this, that they had Shechis to the Or. So the only reason why that light lasted so long is because the Pinyas of that light, like we spoke about before, that the Or HaGanav was buried in that light, and that light was helping them learn. That light was helping them learn. That Hanukkah is a time where the Or HaGanav, it has a keli. That you make a levush, you make a keli for it, and that's called an Er Hanukkah. Throughout the rest of the year, in most cases, that the tzaddikin, it was megala itself. They didn't really need an Er. Okay, it would come from the sefer. The sefer was the keli. It was a sefer that the osios themselves would illuminate their eyes. Called osios machkimos. But the osios, they would give off light. It shines at the tzaddik's eyes. So many times you find by certain people, by certain tzaddikim, that when they hear a shmuel, when they hear a dvar Torah, and the people ask them a question, they need to look at the sefer inside. They have to look at the sefer, or they have to hold the sefer. Because it's a totally different world. If you just hear it on the outside, or if you're looking at it with your eyes. If you're looking at the Torah with your eyes, then the letters themselves, they speak to you. That you could see how the letters are talking. The person can see how the letters are talking to him. Nachman says that it's even shaykh by simple people, such a thing. That if a person would learn betmimus, if people would learn betmimus, if they wouldn't learn to be, you know, try to be tamicham, if they would learn just bepashtus. It's simple, to do the Ratzon Hashem, that even simple people, he says, it's shaykh that it should illuminate their eyes. That the Torah should illuminate their eyes. So it's a time for an Chanukah that a person is mispalat Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should illuminate our eyes in Torah. Should open up our eyes in Torah. Not just limud, lohavin, lohaskel, lishmer, limud, but the ikr is v'harei nidah v'sar secha, that to illuminate, that our eyes should be filled with the light of Torah, with that which you have brach in Torah. So you have to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu with that light, and with that to be zeichet, to the Torah chadash amidi teitzeh, with the tremendous Torah that Hashem will give Klai Yisrael once again. This great setting right now.
Yairech yamim ha'aspiyeyu.
Okay. Let's go back to the Kash of the B'Seif. Kash of the B'Seif is, what's the nace of night one? The nace of night one is that there's no nace. Of course it's supposed to last. That's the Teva Ha'ilam, is that it's supposed to last. I'm sorry, telling you this on Shabbos. So the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Shlah, other tzaddikim say, that when Yaakov went back to the Pachim Ketanim, these Pachim Ketanim is the Pach Shemen of the Nes of Hanukkah. Right? It's the Pach Shemen Nes of Hanukkah. And so therefore, the Sar Shel Esav, which is battling Yaakov for these Pachim Ketanim, really represents Yavon, and everything that Yavon represents. Okay? So now, Yaakov is fighting for these Pachim Ketanim. Shaila is like this. Chazal called it Pachim Ketanim. What did the Yidden find in the Beis HaMikdash? One Pach. So how could Pachim Ketanim be the Nes of Chanukah when Pachim Ketanim means many, but the only thing they found in the Beis HaMikdash is one Pach? Teretz is like this. Teretz is that really, really, there were many Pachim. But what happened was, is that many Pachim became one Pach. So really, there were many Pachim. But what happened was that they all became one Pach. And this is the Nes, which we celebrate on the first night of Hanukkah. The Nes that many Pachim became one Pach. And this is why one Pach lasted for 8 days. Because really, this is not just one Pach, it's 8 Pachim, or maybe 12 Pachim. So the reason why it lasted for so many days is because this wasn't one Pach, it was one Pach which had many Pachim in it. So it can last for more than one day. Because many Pachim became one. And that's why the whole Neis, as we say in Alanisim, is Rabim Biad Ma'atin. That the many fit into the few. That many Pachim were filled into one Pach. So we celebrate this is the Neis, that many became one, and that's why it lasts for 8 days. Because really it's many Pachim, not just one. Where do you find something similar to this in the Torah?
Rocks.
Huh? By the rocks. Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov. Yaakov went down to lie in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And many rocks, 12 rocks, became one rock. Many rocks became one rock. So what does Yaakov Avinu do after this rock of 12 becomes one rock? Takes Shem and pours it on the rock. He's inaugurating the place of the Beis HaMikdash on that rock with Shemin, because there will be a Nes later on in history where this will literally replicate itself. But there's going to be one Pach out of many Pachin, just like it was one rock from many rocks.
Shemin Pach itself was the...
Huh?
Shemin Pach itself was the... Yeah. That was the oil
Pach. Yeah. If you take a look at what happened here with Yaakov, it says that he went to the Beis HaMikdash, he was on his way to Haran, he forgot about the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and he came back to daven there. What's going on with that? That's this, it's all a Maisa of a similar money. What that means is that when he passed up on the Beis HaMikdash, he forgot about the Beis HaMikdash. What that means is that the Yinin in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they would forget about the Hashivas of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't that what is destroyed. The Yavam didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They just caused the Tumah on the Beis HaMikdash. Tumah on the Beis HaMikdash means that you forget about the Beis HaMikdash. So any place where there's Tumah, there's Shecha. So Yaakov forgot about the Beis HaMikdash. How could it be Yaakov forget about the Beis HaMikdash? It's impossible. But there it is. It's a Maisa of Asin Labanim that he would go and he would come back. It says that he went V'hadar. It says and he came back to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a remnant to the fact that the Yidden would once again, even though they forgot about the Beis HaMikdash, they would come back and be mechanech the Beis HaMikdash again through what? Through the Shemen, Vayitzak Shemen al Rosha. That he poured Shemen on the place, because that's a replication of exactly what would happen. That's why it says Hadar. Hadar is a Lashon Mahadrin. Right? That the whole Nes is Kavua over the way that we light B'derech Mahadrin, which means that we go all the way, as far as we can go, and then we come back to the One. That's exactly what happened with Yaakov. He went as far as he could, and then he realized he went past the place where he needed to go, and he was Hadar. He went back to the beginning, to the Makom of the Rishon, which is the Beis HaMikdash. He went back to it. Because Yaakov, and the whole Inyan which happened with Yaakov, that he went back to the Beis HaMikdash, is the return of the Yidden to the Beis HaMikdash. That they forgot about them, and they started going out, and they forgot about the Rishon, the Makom HaRishon, which is the Beis HaMikdash. Coming back to that place, that's the Bechina of Ner Hanukkah. Yaakov came back. That's why it says Vayishkav b'makom ha'hu. The Yaakov that he slept in that place. He slept in the place, and he woke up and he said, "Halavai, had I known that this was the place of the Beis HaMikdash, I never would have slept here to begin with." You don't sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. Why don't you sleep in the Beis HaMikdash? Because you're being tumah when you sleep. That's exactly what happened with the Yidden in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They started to fall asleep. The Bach says that the Kohanim were like sleeping. They were doing the Beis HaMikdash like by rote. They weren't conscious of what they were doing. When you do things without consciousness, when you're just doing one thing to the next, that causes that it's like you're sleeping, you're sleepwalking. Ani yeshena v'libi er, but here was the opposite. Ani er v'libi yeshena. And they were sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Yevanim had Rishus to come to be metame it, because if you're sleeping there, the Yevanim are only being megala, that you're bringing a tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Yevanim were only bringing out the Tumah that the Yidden were doing by sleeping in the Makom HaMikdash. That's why in the Sefer Yetzirah says, "B'chodesh Kislev Himlech Aisamech b'sheina. That's a month of sleeping. It's a month of sleeping. That the Yidden were sleeping in Chodesh Kislev. They're sleeping in the Makom HaMikdash. That's called the Tumah. That's why it says Vayishkav b'Makom Ahu. That Yaakov was sleeping in that place. And Vayishkav is Gematria near Chanukah. That from that place of Shechiva, of lying down, that's good for then Chanukah comes to wake up. How do you wake up somebody? You turn the light on. And that's the word. It's not from Rav Leibel Eiger. It's from this, the person in the back of the Imayam. It says this story. But there's two ways to wake up a person who's sleeping. Either you can call him by his name, or you can turn on the lights. On Rosh Hashanah, we wake up Yidden by we call their name. You blow the shofar. On Chanukah, you turn on the lights. So you wake up sleeping people. That's what you do on Chanukah. Turn on the lights. That's why Yishkav. If you take a look at the Kavanas of the Rashash, Kavanas of the Ari, he says that the secret of Ner Chanukah is the word Vayishkav. So he says. The word Vayishkav. It goes back to this Vayishkav, Vayishkav v'makom ahu, that's sleeping in that place, because Vayishkav is Gematria Ner Chanukah. And in that place where there's a Shechiva, where you fall asleep and it brings the Tumah, by landing the Ner Chanukah, you wake up. You're supposed to wake up Yidden from her slumber. So what's interesting is like this. The Ari says another kavana. It says like this. If you take the word shenen, it's gematria 390. He says, and he's getting to the mystery. You have to get to the word zayas. Okay, zayas is 417. So you start with shemen, that's 390. Now you have to take the mispar katan of shemen. So what's the mispar katan of Shemin? 390.
12.
12, right? 3 plus 9 is 12. 3 plus 9 plus 0 is 12. So you have to add the mispar katan of Shemin onto Shemin. So 390 plus 12 is 402. So that's Gematria Bas. And you know the 15. So remember before we spoke about Tefach? We said Tefach is Tes, Pei, then Aches. Okay? So this test pay comes from a Shem HaKadosh, which is called, I don't know if you could say it, I could spell it out for you. It's tough, then Yud. Test pay, then Yud K. So tough, then Ka. That's the Shem HaKadosh, which the Baal Shem Tov says is Mesugah for Machshavos Taharos, which is exactly what you need by Chanukah time, because it says that the Yevanim were Matami Kol HaShmanim. Pinchas Karzai says that Shemin is Chachma, it's Machshava. That the Yevanim, they were matami all the machshavas of the Yidden. So that's why this shame of taf ka is the shame for Chanukah, because it's matahir the machshavas. That's why it has to do with tefillin. It says latoy tafais bein einacha. That tefillin you can only wear with machshavas taharis. And they bring a present machshavas taharis. So the reason why tefillin are called toy tafais bein einacha is because it has a shaykhis to the shame taf ka, which brings in machshavas taharis. So if a person is having machshavas taharis, and if you could picture this shame called Tafka, and it's Masugal, which is like Chanukah Ka. That's what it is. Chanukah Ka. So how do you get the next 15? So you have to take the Ka of this shame. Tafka. The 15 comes from the Yud Kei. So it goes like this. So let's recap. See, Shemin is 390, plus the Mispar Katan of Shemin, which is 12. That's 402. Plus 15 of this shame Ka, Tafka, which is Begumatria 417, which is Begumatria Zayis. So the Ari says that's called Shemin Zayis. Now what's interesting here is that hardly ever does the Ari HaKadosh use Mispar Katan. Because Mispar Katan is Shaykh to Katnas HaMeichen. It's considered to be like lower worlds. Over here all of a sudden the Ari has a Kavana where in order to get to Shemin Zayis you need to use Mispar Katan. Why Dafka using Mispar Katan? So I think the pshat is like this. It's a remiss to the word we're saying. That shemin spelled out is 390. But you need, there's a lot of shemin in a small place. So if you take shemin and you put it into the mispar katan of shemin, that's like taking a lot of shemin and putting it into a little bit of shemin. So since the nais was that it was a lot of shemin and a little shemin, so that's why the kavana of the Ari is you take the big mispar and put it into the little mispar. The mispar gadol and the mispar katan. That's called rav mevi'al miyat, putting a lot into a little. If you take a look at these Yud Bei Zavanim, these 12 Avanim, which became one, really what that shows is that 12, the 12 Shvatim are all really one. And that's a big nace. Why is that a big nace? It's a big nace because the Gemara tells us, Kishem shepitzufei meinin shavos, just like their faces are not all like the same, kach deyosei meinin shavos. Even that the way they think is not the same. It's a huge nace that you can have 12 Shvatim, and within 12 Shvatim, 600,000 people, right? And they all think differently, yet they all share the exact same emuna. But they all come from Yaakov Avinu. Yes, and look at the Christian religion, for example, right? You have the Reconstructionists, and then you have the Catholics, and then you have this one, and there's that one, right? And this, it's all, they all have different emunas. And they can't, this one won't daven at this one's shul, this one's church, right? This is my thing. I'm a messianic one. It's like a different religion. It all comes from the same place, but it's not really all the same place because the different nusach means that they're totally different. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, right? The Kohanim daven with the Yisraelim, and the Sfaradim will daven with the Ashkenazim, and the Ashkenazim will daven with the Hasidishers, and the Teiman, and everybody will daven together. You can make a minyan of 10, and everybody's happy. Just go to Keser Torah every day, every half hour, you'll see all walks of life, how people come together, and nobody says anything, you know? Says anything. This is the every time you daven at a show like that, your mamash, you're looking at Tiferes Yisrael. It's Tiferes Yisrael. There's nothing like that in the world that you can have such a thing. That you look at another yid who looks nothing like you, and you say, this is my brother, and I can daven with a minion, and together we can make the Shekhinah come. Faked. That's how you make the Shekhinah come. That's how you make the Shekhinah. So this is the real miracle of the 12 Avanim, which has become one. It represents that 12 Shvatim will eventually come together, and even though amongst those 12 Shvatim there will be 600,000 different ways of looking at things, but they'll be able to see the same thing. That 600,000 units set on Har Sinai, and they all saw from their own perspective the same exact thing. That's a nace, which is Ein L'Shar. What that means. And the reason why 12 stones became one, because what were they saying? It actually brings the Medrash. Allah yaniyach tzadik es roshe. They all wanted to be have a connection to the to Yaakov Avinu. They all wanted to shaykh to Yaakov. But it wasn't in a way where each one said, only me and not you. It's not the nusach. The nusach is, I want to be the stone which is underneath the head of Yaakov Avinu. Can you turn on the light? Yeah. I'm falling asleep. Thank you. That's Hanukkah, right? So the reason why these 12 stones were able to come together and to become one was Gufa because they weren't exclusive of anybody else. But when Hashem saw that they each wanted they had a cheshek to be close to the tzaddik, then they all came together to make one. Which is the opposite of there's a concept in Kabbalah which is called the Shir of the Kalim. Shir of the Kalim means that when a person says Ani Emlech, which means I'm going to be the king, which means that I'm going to be the king and nobody's going to be the king, then you break. Because by definition, saying that I'm going to be the king means that nobody else can be king. Ein shnei malachim mishtam shem kesrecha. Two kings can't wear the same crown. So if a person says Ana Emlech, I'm going to be the ruler, then by definition he'll break. Because that's not called tikkun. Tikkun is that it doesn't mean that a person says I'm giving away the malchus. Everybody has a right to say, and you should say, B'shvili nevra'olam. The world was created for me. That I have a purpose in this world that Hashem wants for me. Hashem wants that I should be king. Klai Yisrael is called Mamleches Kehanim. We're a nation of kings. Every single person should be melech. The difference is that it's the perspective. If a person says, Ana Emlech, I'm going to be king, and nobody else is going to be king, then everybody else will be king and you'll break. But if a person says, I want to be king and everybody else should be king with me, I'm not mocked with anybody else, Allah yaniach tzaddik es roshe, I want to be close to the tzaddik, I want to be close to Hashem, and I don't mind if everybody else gets close because there's plenty to go around. Hashem's name is Shakai. Dai belakusa the cholelama. Hashem has enough for everybody. There's no shortage when it comes to Hashem. Right? I say, Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole tachas in life was that he wanted everybody to be on his madriga. Moshe wasn't, he knew that the Hashem, there's plenty to go around. He wasn't a tzar'an on anybody. Halavai, his whole tachlis in life was to bring up Eden, that they should all be on his madrega. That's why the whole inyan of the nes of Chanukah is by a ner. Because a ner is able to give from one ner to the next and nobody else loses. You can light candles from today to tomorrow and for eternity. And you'll still be able to give and to give and to give and to give and to give. That's what the ner represents. The ner represents the idea that a Jew says, Aleinich tzadikus roishai, I want to have, but I'm not making sure that nobody else gets. Fakert. On the eighth day, which is called, if you light mahadran and mahadran, you light eight candles. The eighth candle is not saying, fakir, what do you mean? Ner yishu beiso. Only one candle tonight. I don't want any other candles to be lit. Right? That's the lowest way of lighting a candle. Because if a candle, which is a neshama, says, I only will be the one tonight, nobody else, that's called the lowest way of avodas Hashem. Mahadran and mahadran means that even if on the eighth day, and I could taina, I only want to be lit, but I say I want everybody to be lit, even though the other candles will be lit more than me. Because that means that day one is going to be lit eight times, and two is going to be lit seven times, and day three is going to be six times. I'm only going to be lit once, but still I say, you know what, it doesn't matter to me. I want everybody else to be lit also. That's called mahadran and mahadran. You are the most mahudr in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I only got lit once, everybody else got lit more. But if you had that perspective, then that's called the most beautiful of all beauty in front of Hashem's eyes. Like we speak about in Esrog, it's mahudr, and neris are also mahudr. But there's something by a ner Chanukah which an Esrog doesn't have that's called mahadran min mahadran. You can only use one Esrog, but you can light many candles. So if you can only light one, if you can only be one of what, that's only called mahadran. If you could do many of them, that's called mahadran min mahadran. That's the most beautiful. So when a Jew says, and he looks around the room, and he looks at his chaverim, and he says, I want, not only I should grow with chaverim, we should grow together with each other, even though this person may look like he's higher, this, the real highest madrega of all madrega is that if in the heart of a Jew, he feels that he wants everybody to grow, and he wants to grow, and he's not tzar'ayin on anybody, even though he knows less Torah, even though he doesn't run after mitzvah like this person, even though his davening is in his gishmak, but there's a place in that heart of that Jew, which is called mahadran min mahadran, that everything which he does, he has a stamp on it, that he leaves an impression called the chesama shel kohen gadol, that everything that Jew does is mahadran min mahadran in Hashem's eyes. Even though he doesn't have all the hidurin and halacha, doesn't have the most beautiful esrog, but when he's in the room and he sees other people have nice esrogs on Sukkot, and he feels happy for other yidden that they have such a beautiful esrogim, even though his esrog was only a $35 esrog, everybody else is spending hundreds of dollars, in Hashem's eyes, that esrog was the most mahadran. Because Hashem doesn't care really about how much an esrog is a little bit more mahudr than this one. This one has a tiny speck and this one has not. I think Hashem is standing there with a microscope and going like this on all the esrogim. The esrog represents the heart. Everything is a simon to what the pnimius is. By a Jew who's an ish pnimius, it's in the pnimius. How mahudr is the heart? If the heart is mahajin, and on Chanukah you go to a higher madriga, which is mahajin min mahajin, which means to say that a person wants that other yidin should grow with him. So that's the most mahadr. But you only find that by a ner. Because you can't hold two esrogim on Sukkot. You can have like many ners on Chanukah. Because it's in a world, mahadr and hadr, which is a ruchnistic world, which only a ner can come to. So if we could walk away with Chanukah, with this lesson in hand, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enough for everybody, that there's no reason to be tza'ayin on anybody else. A person should have the desire to come close to the tzaddik, but in a way where it's not exclusive, but rather it's inclusive of everybody else. Not only will he see that he'll have a nachas to see other chaverim grow, but he'll grow much, much more also, because a stone which is one, which is made out of 12 pieces, if I become that stone, I'm much greater than what I was before. So a person can only gain from his chaverim satzlacha. There's nothing to be tza'ayin about. The more that a person accepts the fact that he sees his chaverim grow, he becomes more mahudr na'at of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the real hatzlacha. So when we look at the neiros, and this, the neiros are teaching us many things, Hashem should help us. I should be able to internalize this lesson, to be mahadr min mahadr dika yidin, to grow together with chaverim, to have that yearning of Allah yinei tzaddik, especially to come close to tzaddikim, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a way that we're ma'isa b'haylech, we're ma'adlin b'kodesh v'meridin, want everybody to go up with us. This is the real way of Avodas Hashem, and Hashem should help us that as we grow together as a chevra and dance clients all together, with that we should be zeicha to see Yitzhak Shemin al Reishai, the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, because Christ's sake,
Amen.